Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you. And our phone number here is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And, well, we got some different things to talk about here tonight. I am hoping that in a few minutes we'll be joined by somebody representing Nehemiah's Network in order to talk about some relief efforts regarding the tornadoes of the other night. And depending on where you were, where I was at down in Summit County, we had quite a lot of thunder and wind and lightning and rain and everything else coming through, and we were under tornado watch. The tornado warnings extended into Medina County at one point, and then, of course, before we were under tornado warning in our area, they ended up canceling them. But they were deadly storms. One of them was reported to be about a half mile wide, and I remember they were saying that this is unusual for Ohio, Indiana area. This is more like out on the Great Plains, where they typically get these much bigger, wider tornadoes. And a number of people killed, and a lot of devastation, a lot of damage across the eastern Indiana and moving into central Ohio. And we had several lines of them coming through. And like I said, depending on where you were, you know, up toward Cleveland along the lakeshore, it's like the storms went around that area. But further south, I tell you what, there was some pretty impressive lightning, you know, the type of thunder that just rattled the windows and everything. Still had a bit of wind going through yesterday. My wife and I were sitting here working on stuff for church. We had a fellowship after church today. We have our annual Pi Day fellowship, and that's because it's close to April 14th, which, you know, if you think about it, Pi 3.14, April 14th, March 14th. You know, the third month, 14th day, 3.14. It's a good excuse to have pie and have fellowship, and we had a great time. So we were working on some stuff, getting ready for that, making some pies and things, and we heard this big thump, and we looked out the window, and this awning that we had that was covering our lawnmowers and some things was no longer covering them. It was sitting in a different part of the yard, and the wind just caught it and moved it. And so it was kind of interesting. And then, of course, tonight, well, winter came back today. We were sitting in there after church this morning, looked out the window, and it just was snowing to beat the band, and just snow pelting down, and big fat flakes. And of course, later on when we went out in it, it just, you know, you could feel them hitting you. They were so big and fat. And then coming up to the station tonight, more snow. There's a couple spots. I'll tell you what, if you're on 77 tonight, down in getting down toward Brecksville, Richfield area, there's some spots down there when I was just coming up, not more than a half an hour ago, where it was snowing so hard you could hardly see the front of the car. So be careful if you're out there on the road, and especially down around, I believe it was down below Pleasant Valley, down in that area, Pleasant Valley, 77 and Pleasant Valley down to 77 Wallings, seemed to be one of the heaviest the regions, and it was accumulating. The road was getting covered, so be careful if you're out on 77, some of these roadways tonight. You get into these areas where there's some heavy snow squalls going through. You know, it gets slippery pretty fast. So, and of course, then today is St. Patrick's Day. That's another thing, a road hazard you have to consider out there tonight. And so I hope you stay safe if you're out on the roads. All right. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about me, more about the program, and also more about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And you can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. You can read some articles that I have there, and some other materials that are things that are there, and just hopefully be a blessing to you in some way. But we're going to get into some other things. Oh, I did want to make mention too. I was mentioning our Pi Fellowship today, and you know, we had quite a variety of pies to choose from. My wife tried a new recipe, a lemon blueberry sort of cream pie, which was just absolutely fantastic. Everybody said, you got to make this one again. So that one was a keeper. I made an old-fashioned oatmeal pie, which a lot of people don't know what it is, but I remember my grandmother make that when I was younger. And it's like a pecan pie, only instead of pecans, you have oatmeal. And I was looking at some history of it. Back during the Civil War, pecans became hard to come by and expensive, and so some people substituted oats, and that's what they came up with this. And then we had another old-fashioned pie that goes back to my great-grandmother's day, a crumb pie. A lady in the church, she's actually my mom's cousin, and her mom and my grandmother were sisters, and their mom used to make it for them, and so both of them made it, and it's just sent down through the family. It's just an old traditional recipe, and called a crumb pie. It's kind of like a shoe fly pie, sort of a molasses sort of pie. And so we had that. Plus, we had all, you know, the blueberry and the apple and the cherry and a homemade raspberry pie, which was fantastic. And if I fall asleep on the radio tonight, you'll know why. I'll be falling into a pie coma. So I had to suffer. You know, this is called hard suffering for the Lord. You know, in the Lord's work, you have to sometimes push yourself. And I have, of course, as the pastor, had to sample a number of the pies, especially the homemade pies. So, you know, I did my duty. And the Bible says you need to go the extra mile. And I think if you look at me right now, it looks like I went the extra mile in terms of the pies. So anyway, we had a good time. But I want to get to our callers tonight. And before we get to some of our other callers, we have got Pastor Alan Jenkins calling in tonight representing Nehemiah's Network. And we are going to be talking about what's happening with some relief efforts due to the tornadoes here this past week. And Pastor Jenkins, are you there with us?
I'm here and hungry for pie.
Well, you know, it's terrible, isn't it, that I have come on the air and tell everybody about this. But I'll tell you what, we had some visitors from Hudson that I was advertising our Pi Day Fellowship last week on the radio, and they said, that sounded good, we have to come. And they came out and visited with us, and we had a great time fellowship. And it's, you know, I'm sure there's something in the Bible that man does not live by pie alone. It actually doesn't live by bread alone. That's why you have pie. So, but it's a great time. God's people need to fellowship together at church.
Amen.
And get to, you know, be around each other. And what better way to do it than to have a special dinner or something after church where everybody can stay. And you've had the preaching, and you've been singing songs and praising the Lord, and you know you're in this, you know, spiritual mindset. What better way to foster friendships and connections amongst people in the church than a fellowship right after the service like that? And so we had a great time. So
that's one thing about us Baptists, we love to eat.
I can think of a few people that are with the Lord now that at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm sure they're in there in the pie department getting ready. So, but I could talk about pie all night, but I know there's other things that are going on as we're enjoying talking about that. We did have a serious round of storms come through the area this past week, Thursday night, I believe it was. And it really devastated some people not too far away from us. And what have you been seeing in regards to this?
Well, this is one of the very few, and, you know, you always hope that it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never want a disaster, but you never want them really that close either.
Right.
But this one, again, is almost on our back door, like the East Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of devastation down in Logan County,
mm-hmm.
and across the state line there too, in Indiana, Winchester. Up in that area, a lot of damage and a lot of needs. One church that I know of was heavily damaged in Winchester there, Cornerstone Baptist Church. And we had a guy down there today assessing the situation,
mm-hmm.
to see what all is needed. So tomorrow morning I should be getting an update on all that. And we're gearing up here with collecting supplies and stuff to get down there. And so we already have one load ready to go. So as soon as we get the clear that we can, mm-hmm. get in and
right.
place, then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I have looked at some of the pictures online, and the devastation, the damage is just incredible. And I don't think they're yet sure how many tornadoes are involved. You know, was it several tornadoes that were on the ground kind of hopping and skipping around, or was it a whole bunch of individuals? I think they're still assessing that. But
there were quite a few tornadoes that night.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've gotten all the reports on, you know, everything yet.
Right. I know they have to try to follow the storm track and things like that. Yeah. And I think they go back and assess the radar data that they had collected, you know, during the course of the night. But just incredible devastation in some of those areas, the pictures that you see online. I guess a number of the roads are still closed in some of those areas, and certainly power was out. I saw that the Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, was at a, I'm trying to think, it was a press conference or something, because, you know, Tuesday's the primary election. And this area here, some of the places where they were going to hold the election, is damaged and unusable. What do you do? The election has got to go on. So I guess they are trying to make some plans for that as well. But with Nehemiah's Network, of course, your focus is a little different. It's not the election, is it?
No. sometimes that's quite a disaster itself. But. Kind of disaster we work.
Right.
We're focusing on trying to help the people, mm-hmm. and get them some needed supplies, and to, you know, and try to look and see how we can help some of these families that have lost everything. And
right.
the church, you know, like I say, we had a fella that was at the church today, and I'm kind of anxious to hear what the reports are tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
as far as that. I've seen pictures of it.
Right.
And quite a bit of damage to the church itself.
Yeah. Now, with Nehemiah's Network, and I know a number of our listeners, they're familiar, you've been on, and different disasters, hurricanes, fires, floods, tornadoes, and things that you've been involved in helping with. But for somebody that's new that perhaps is not familiar with Nehemiah's Network, what is it? How did it start? How did it get started?
Well, it started, first of all, through Harvest Baptist Missions. Mm-hmm. We, out of Columbia Road Baptist Church, when I was pastoring there, we started Harvest Baptist Missions, and it developed into the Nehemiah's Network as a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nehemiah's Network was at first primarily a supply ministry to help new church starts and churches that were struggling, and missionaries in the foreign field. And still, mm-hmm. we still do some of that, but it kind of took on a different angle and went to, we went to this disaster relief area. And for the last, I'd say, 8 to 10 years, we've been concentrating on the disaster relief,
mm-hmm.
Trying to help people that have lost everything and during that crisis. So that was the beginning of it. And you know, it just seems like the disaster relief has grown to be the major part of the ministry.
Right, right. And I know you've been involved. What's the furthest away that you've gone? Because you're, you know, of course, Church Columbia Road's there in North Olmsted, and then your warehouse there on the west side of Cleveland. But what's the furthest that you've traveled dealing with some of this?
Between Houston, Texas, and down in Florida, you know, so almost to the tip there,
right
by the Keys. Mm-hmm. And we, a couple of years ago, we were down in that area. And
right.
I would say that's the furthest we've went. I mean, we've been to a lot of other places.
Right. So you're really able to get out and into a lot of different areas and be a lot of help. And of course, you already mentioned before you were over in East Palestine and now here, so that's much closer to home. You had mentioned a church there that was damaged, Cornerstone, and, and of course, you tend to go in and work through churches in the area, and you have good reasons for doing that, right?
Yeah, we like to work with churches of like faith mm-hmm. because we try to share the gospel.
Right.
We pass out in Romans, and we don't want to have any issues with people stopping us from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly want to meet the people's physical needs, but we know that the most important thing is their spiritual needs. So,
right,
we don't want to be hindered in doing that. So we try to find a church of like faith. And the problem right now with this church in Winchester is that their building was destroyed, so we really were trying to find a place that we could set up a distribution for the food
right.
and supplies. So that's been a little different right now. And Operation Renewed Hope is another organization we work with, and they usually supply work teams that'll go in and help with what is needed. Now, this particular church is very heavily insured. So, you know, they've told us that other than trying to just get some things set up so that they can meet, that they're going to be all right because of the insurance they have.
Right.
Which is a blessing. And, you know, we can, you know, take our efforts and put in other areas.
Right.
We have gotten all the reports. We try to help some of the families that are in the church. And so we haven't gotten all of those requests in yet, and we're waiting on that, too.
Now, people listening here at home in the area, and if they want to help out, what can they do? What's the best thing that they can do to try and help out, to help Nehemiah's Network, help you and the people that are working to try and get these relief efforts out to these people in the church and things out there?
Well, the easiest thing for people would be the donation area as far as monies to buy supplies and get the trucks down there. Other ways people could bring in goods, canned goods, cleaning supplies, paper items, and they can drop them off at the warehouse or our church. And, you know, and of course, prayer is the major.
Yeah.
Thing that we need, and because you never know what you run into in situations. So, but you know, as we have tried to reach out before, we've been quite successful, and I'm thankful that people are still very. You know, there's a lot of problems that we have in America, but for the most part, the American people are still very giving people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know. Course, you know, our churches lead the way in that, Christian people, But there are many unsaved people, too, that that donate and want to be a part of trying to help others. And it's encouraging for all that's going on in our country, because a lot of people are suffering right now.
Right. In terms of making donations or financial gifts to help out, how would they contact you? What's the best way to do it? They go online or phone or?
You can go to our website, which is nehemiahsnetwork.com, and that is fairly a new website, so we're still working
out. Right, that's kind of exciting that you have that now. So,
yeah, and you could call me. My number is 440-781-0209. You could also go to the church website, columbiaroad.org, and you could give through that. And, also a section on our webpage that you can give to, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can drop the supplies off at the church, 4116 Columbia Road, North Olmsted, Ohio, or at the warehouse, 4488 West 160th, Cleveland, Ohio, 44135.
Yeah, going through your website here, which is kind of exciting. You got a new website there, and nehemiahsnetwork.com. And I know it's still under construction, got a lot of bugs and things, I'm sure, to work out of it whenever you have a new website. But it is kind of exciting to see that you have that and the information that's there. And that's a good thing or a bad thing. You have a picture of yourself on there, I see now. So, hey, good picture on there.
That's quite a disaster, isn't it?
Well, I say you got to get the bugs worked out still, but it's good to put a face, to the voice on the radio and a picture of your building there. And that building really is an exciting, thing that God has done for the network or for the ministry, because I can remember when that was brand new for you, you're first going in there and talking about it, because what did you have to do before you had this building?
Well, we had the supplies all over the place. We had some out in Spencer, Ohio. We had some at a hangar in an airport. We had some supplies in people's garages. Mm. So it was quite taxing.
Yeah. Well,
to get that together.
God bless you with a fantastic warehouse. How big is your warehouse?
It's 13,000 square feet.
Wow. And, you've got loading docks, office space, to a place to work on things. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it's a real, real hand of God type movement there, making that available to you. And
God has been good in supplying that ministry.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
we have a debt-free building.
Yeah, and that is something, especially in this day and age. But one of the things I was going to say, when you walk in, it's just impressive the things that you have on hand. That people give, even when there's not a disaster like we're talking about now, where people give before the disaster hits, so that you can be ready and not have to simply wait until somebody gives something during the course, when a disaster hits. But so this is something that's ongoing, not just for this disaster, right?
Right. One of our goals was to have a truck ready when a disaster hit. And so we do, at this point, we have a truckload ready to go, and then we use the funds and things that come in. But sometimes we make a second trip down, which we may do this time also. And then we also want to get geared back up because, I guess we have to face it. This is hurricane or storm season.
Right, it's coming. Yeah.
A lot of spring. Storms, and then we have hurricane season right after that. So
then floods. I mean, a lot of flooding.
Yeah.
You start to get out west, the snow melt, especially in some of these areas where they've had record snowfalls, and then of course the flooding. There's all kinds of things that happen, and we live in a world that's somebody, we were talking about this at church today, and somebody pointed out we're in a cursed world, and disasters happen. And this is a chance for God's people to show the love of God and reach out to help people. And it's easy to do. Like you said, you can give or you can drop off some supplies. But certainly Money is always helpful because you need to have fuel for those trucks to go out. The people who are driving out there sometimes need a place to stay and food to eat in order to be able to carry out the work. Plus, you got lights to keep on and heating bills and everything to operate the warehouse. You know, can't do it for nothing. So that's certainly ways people can help out. But again, I want to say, I just browsing through the website, all the pictures, people can get a glimpse of what you're doing and the amount of supplies. This isn't just like loading up a van and heading out somewhere with a couple of bricks of water and some, a couple of things. This, you have a big operation going on there.
Yeah, we have, it's quite an adventure.
Yes. Who'd have thunk it, huh? When you first started out. But, you know, God has blessed, hasn't he?
But God does amazing things when we're just ready to be used.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad to be able to have the opportunity to have you on. I hate to have you on because that usually that's a case where there's been something that's happened. But I'm glad that when something happens, that we have somebody local, somebody near in the area that people can have confidence in, because that's another problem today, isn't it? If you give to some of these organizations, how do you know that your money's really going to help people? You get a big six-figure income, don't you, off from this, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's the go figure one where you have to go figure out how you're going to make ends meet. but no, I mean, this is a work of God, a work of faith. And you're not making money off from this. You're putting that money that comes in into the ministry, and people can see results. I know we're coming up on the end of this half hour, but I just wanted to let people hear your concern and passion for what you're doing, and just let people know that you're out there, that they can help. Put feet to their prayers as they pray for these tornado victims, that they can give to your ministry, the Nehemiah's Network, and make a difference in the lives of these people, can't they?
I always appreciate your willingness to have me on
Hopefully some good comes from it, and some people will see and want to do something. But again, how can people contact you and give either some items or funds to help out with the ministry?
NehemiahsNetwork.com. My phone number is 440-781-0209. The address of the warehouse is Nehemiah's Network 4488 West 160th Street, Cleveland, Ohio. Our home church is Columbia Road Baptist Church, 4116 Columbia Road, North Olmsted, Ohio, and 44070. We appreciate all the prayers and all the help, and God bless you again.
Well, and thank you, Brother Jenkins, for the work that you're doing. And of course, it's not just you alone. There's the men and women behind the scenes that organize everything, the men that drive the trucks out to these areas. And it's just a lot that's going on there, and I encourage people to pray for you. So thank you for being with us tonight.
Okay, thank you, Brother Al.
All right, God bless. And again, that's NehemiahsNetwork.com. And thank you. And we are going to probably, hopefully, follow up perhaps with Alan Jenkins later, find out how things are going with the disaster relief there. But when we've had him on before, everything kind of had to go through the website for Columbia Road Baptist Church. And one of the things that people have said is, well, it's kind of hard to find just exactly where Nehemiah's Network is on their webpage and all that, because it's in with a lot of their ministries and things. But God moved upon the heart of some people to help them with their own website, and now they've got NehemiahsNetwork.com. And if you go to NehemiahsNetwork.com, you will find a number of things there, including a list of things that they're looking for, things that they need. And there's also a donation page that's been set up. And you're giving through Columbia Road Baptist Church because they're under that ministry. That's their umbrella. They're not a parachurch organization. They're actual ministry of a local independent Baptist church, Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted. And you can give, And they've got it set up there. You can give online, and it's just a win-win in that respect. I think it's through PushPay. It looks like PushPay.com is the what they're using. So there's security there in your giving. But as I said, there's a list of things that you can give, things that they need, and there's certain things they don't need. Generally speaking, they don't need your used clothes, but they do need certain things. And with certain disasters, they need other things more than others. But the one thing they always can use is money, because it takes money to get out there and to maintain the facilities, maintain the trucks, deliver the materials and all that. And then even more than that, they need your prayer. So pray for Alan Jenkins, the Nehemiah's Network, and the work that they're doing. Check them out, nehemiahsnetwork.com. And stay tuned. We got an hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now, let's get back to our program. Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, invite you to give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you. And let's see here. We were talking with Pastor Alan Jenkins, Nehemiah's Network, in the last half hour. Just want to remind you, if you want to help with the disaster relief there in Central Ohio, East Central Indiana, from the tornadoes this past week and storms that went through, a lot of devastation there. They're sending out some efforts, relief efforts there. And just visit them at nehemiahsnetwork.com. That's nehemiahsnetwork.com. And then, of course, we are You can find us, I should say, online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more information about me and listen to past programs, more information about the program, of course. Read some articles and things that we have on there, a number of other things that are all available at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our home church for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And as I said in the last half hour, we had our Pi Day Fellowship today. And so if I pass out in the middle of the program, it's because I've fallen into a pie coma for having sampled so many of the pies tonight. Rough job, but, you know, I'm the pastor, so I guess it's my duty to step up to the plate, so to speak, and lift that fork and make those sacrifices. But everything was wonderful. Really appreciate the people in the church and everything they did. A wonderful time. Sweet spirit. Some visitors just had a wonderful time. But anyway, more about the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. Click on the link for our church. And also, we're brought to you tonight not only by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is our main sponsor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You'll find East Coast Pizza tucked in back there across the street. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And we had Gus from East Coast Pizza with us today. And we had some visitors who listened to the program, and they came in, and we were talking, and I pointed Gus out, and I said, and there's the guy from East Coast Pizza. And he goes, oh, I got to talk to him. It went right over there. I was talking to him about his pizza. And so they seemed to have a good conversation. But let me recommend that you check out East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you are interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, not a franchise, your own business, or adding pizza to an existing restaurant or something, give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Let him know you heard about him here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to our program. We've got several callers been patiently waiting. We went spent a bit of time on the Nehemiah's Network Disaster Relief Program with Pastor Jenkins. Again, that's nehemiahsnetwork.com, nehemiahsnetwork.com. But now we're going to get back to our phone calls. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Cheryl calling in tonight. And we got a couple others lined up behind her, but we're going to get Cheryl here first. Cheryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Good evening.
You're doing well. And the only thing you didn't say is when you said step up to the plate, you could have said step up to the pie plate. That would have been the end of your joke.
Well, there you go. You know, I have to tell you, and you probably couldn't imagine who made this, but somebody made a lemon sponge pie.
I know I did, but you didn't try it right away, but I hope you did later.
I did this evening. I went in tonight before church. I had, there was two pieces of lemon sponge pie left, mm-hmm. And in a sense, it tasted like the lemon meringue pie that my mom used to make, only without the meringue on top, and it was a different texture, you know, the filling, mm-hmm. than in a lemon meringue pie. But it had a nice lemony flavor. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, my Aunt Helen's recipe, and it's really a special one from long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you had some.
Well,
so
and
I thought, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you mentioned from long ago, and that's one of the fun things that I've noticed over the years with our pie fellowship is, mm-hmm. people will try a new recipe, like my wife's lemon blueberry pie that she made, or make an old recipe, like, you know, we had several of those, yours being one of them, and old recipes that have been in the family. And it's a great opportunity to talk about these things and just the fellowship. And as Christians get together and learn a little bit about each other, and it's really a lot of fun.
Well, I agree, and I think it's really neat. You know, looking, because it's the kind of recipe that people don't do like now. Like, you separate the eggs and the yolks, and you put the eggs mm-hmm. in the stir, and then the yolks, you know, and all that, the whites and all that stuff. So, yes, it was a very, very good time.
Yes.
Well, this is my question. I'm going to just ask it first, but I'm going to do a little segue and
sure.
then come back to it, because everything is in context and linked together in this world. My question is going to be about having a biblical perspective to mm-hmm. voting. But what I want to do first is say how, you know, really wonderful. I've been, you know, heard the whole thing about Nehemiah's Network, and I've been involved with them a little bit just in giving donation stuff. And I think it's just such a wonderful ministry. And, you know, how we hear this kind of thing is, you know, some people don't let a good disaster go to waste.
Right.
And but there's another side to that. And I'm thinking the other side to something like this is, you know, looking at, you know, giving light in the darkness, and how Christians respond to a disaster,
mm-hmm.
You know, and how they can, you know, look to others instead of, you know, it's not like, well, I don't have myself taken care of yet, I can't help you. Christians aren't like that. You know, they just dive in and help somebody else, and, you know, the golden rule and all that stuff. And I hope that can be, you know, like a light to the world, and even yet see a contrast, more
right.
contrast about how people are acting right now. So back to the biblical perspective of voting, because it all relates. We were talking, and I want, you know, your wisdom on this. We were talking about, you know, asking the Lord, you know, as far as, you know, helping us see a candidate, and a candidate that would be, you know, really patriotic, and, you know, realize our full patriotic government and all that kind of thing. And then we were meshing that with really being knowledgeable enough that, you know, knowing, you know, who might lead whom, and what kinds of, I don't know, you might say what kinds of strategies versus, in the not good sense, what kind of not legal tactics, you know, that some people use, but put, you know, just put it in the sense of, you know, legal strategies and whatever, and how you might blend those in guiding people, you know, in their voting. And one thing I think about in all of this is, you know, like of the 17% or so people who, you know, led the charge in the Revolutionary War, and mm-hmm. if they hadn't been willing to jump in when they knew they were in a great minority, we'd still be under British rule, probably. And so
right.
I'll let you just go on with that, because I know that you could speak 4 hours just on that, just on that comment alone.
Well, you know, when we look at this and when we think about voting, yeah, you know, I encourage Christians to vote. I mean, this is a tremendous opportunity that we have. It's more than an opportunity. I think we have an obligation as believers to vote. And, you know, it astounds me sometimes the things that Christians will come up with as reasons, they're actually excuses for not voting. And I've heard everything from, well, I don't want to vote for the wrong person, so I'm just not going to vote at all. I suppose in some senses I can almost go with that, but then my thought is, well, have you looked into who some of these people are? I mean, there's a wealth of materials out there. For instance, you can go to ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website. And they have a fantastic voter guide. Some groups like to endorse, but I know the Ohio Christian Alliance doesn't. But what they give you is information so that you can look at the candidates and you can say, you know, I'm agreeing with this guy's views. Now, And so you can research your candidates. They have a number of candidates from statewide, even to some more local elections and national elections that are there.
So be informed, yes.
Yes, and so that's a very important thing to do. Like I said, be informed. And I was going to point something out, having mentioned them, at the just thought I'd call it up here in just a second, but I think I pressed the wrong button on here. Let me try this again. And I put a period where I was supposed to put something else. And it only takes one little thing, but on their voter guide, let me just give you an example. I was calling up their voter guide, and there's a number of issues. For instance, we know that Dolan really cannot be counted on to be a conservative or a friend of Christians. I mean, he is sometimes, he is other times, he's not. He sometimes, when the wind's going in the right direction, he'll vote pro-life, going with the crowd, I think. But I always tell people I support him as much as he supported the Pastor's Protection Act in the past, which was zero. He actually helped kill it. That was the one that was going to prevent pastors and churches from being forced to have to participate in or use their facilities to be used for same-sex marriage celebrations. And he, of course, killed that in committee. So I always say, I tell people I support him as much as he supported the Pastor's Protection Act. But Frank LaRose and Bernie Marino are very close in many things that they have. I would point out that on the voter guide, the first one up there is a line that says limiting federal funding that promotes United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 30, formerly known as Agenda 21, known as Central Regional Planning Sustainable Development. Bernie Marino supports eliminating that funding. Frank LaRose on there says oppose, but he has since stated that that was a mistake. They wrote the wrong thing down, but there's a cutoff, you know, that protects the integrity of the voter guide. And so as a consequence, you know, it was published this way. But from what I know of Frank LaRose, having talked with him and seen his position on various issues, I would be in agreement that he mistakenly wrote opposed there. He's like Bernie Marino. He supports it. So the only other difference between the two that I see on the voter guide, and this is one of the things that's helpful, is there's a portion on there about the death penalty, capital punishment for certain crimes such as first-degree murder. And Frank LaRose supports that. Bernie Marino opposes that. And if you're like me and you believe that capital punishment is biblical, we can argue about what crimes it should be applied to and what exemptions there might be. But certainly capital punishment is supported by Christ in the New Testament, by Paul in the New Testament, as well as throughout the Old Testament. So it is a biblical thing. In fact, I have an article that people can go read. Is the death penalty biblical? And I think you can find it at livewithpastoral.com, and I go into that. So, you know, I look at that and I think, well, okay, they're all pretty much the same, but this issue here could be a concern to me, and I can use this to shape my vote. And this is an idea of becoming informed, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and we have these discussions like this, and so then you can make up and you pray and you ask the Lord to guide you. And, you know, so I look at these two candidates. I've told people, you know, one day I'm on the LaRose side, next day I'm on the Marino side. Next day I'm back to the LaRose side, next time back to the Marino side. Because they both appear to be very good candidates, you know, in terms of the three that are out there. I just, you know, I might add that Dolan is not on this because he didn't bother to fill it out, I guess. Yeah, I'm sure he was sent one, but there's no record of his responses, so he's not on here. So I look at these two, and one of these hopefully will be the nominee and be on the November ballot. And so I look at this and I say, well, okay, they're pretty much the same all down the line. So how important is the support or opposition to the death penalty? And I have to pray about that and make my decision accordingly. And then, of course, another thing to do is to think to yourself and ask God to guide you, because not only do we want to nominate somebody who reflects our views or is as close to possible, we nominate somebody who's electable. And so you look at that, and of course, Frank LaRose has won statewide elections. He's pretty well known across the state as Attorney General. Certainly, he's able to get name recognition. Bernie Marino, more well known in the northeastern part of the state. But of course, President Trump has endorsed him, and he had a rally yesterday down in the Dayton area to help with name recognition in the southwestern part of the state. So whichever one of these gets elected is going to go against likely Sherrod Brown, the Democrat, who occasionally votes, maybe occasionally votes to the right of Bernie Sanders. I think mostly he votes with or to the left of Bernie Sanders, which is certainly not something that's friendly to church, friendly to the gospel, friendly to Christians, friendly to family issues, friendly to the unborn children and all that. He's one of the most extreme leftists in the U.S. Senate. So I want somebody who can beat him. And so these are things we need to pray about. And so that's a big part of it, is praying and allowing God to help you find information and then look at the candidates, try to find out information about them. And I tell people too, I mean, I work at the polling station, and you can actually go in, pick up a primary ballot, and you can take that ballot and walk right over to the scanner and scan a blank ballot, and it'll come up saying undervoted, and you can say, yep, that's fine, and send in a blank ballot. Say, why would you do that? Well, here's a couple of things that happen when you do that. One, shows you cared to vote. The other thing that it shows is you're not satisfied or happy with any of the candidates. And they look at that, and they see that people put in blank ballots. And they have to ask themselves, why is it that people are putting in blank ballots? Because it's kind of your none of the above choice. Or instead of an entirely blank ballot, let's say that you know what you're going to do for Senate, you know what you're going to do for the U.S. House, you know what you're going to do for a state senator if you have a vote for that on the ballot, or a Ohio senator or Ohio House member or whatever. But you come to the judges and you don't know who the judges are. There's no law or rule that says that you have to vote for anybody in those races where you don't know who people are. You don't have to just blankly, fill in a spot and just pick one at random. You can just say, well, I just don't know. I'm not comfortable voting for any of these, and leave it blank. That's something that you can do. And sometimes as a Christian, that might be the route to go. But sometimes God will help you find out information so that you can say, yes, this judge consistently has been pro-life, pro-family, recognizes the difference between a man and a woman, I am going to vote for them. And many things that along those lines, I just look at some of the characteristics that we see in the Bible for people. I always think of Moses when he was handling all the affairs of the people, and his father-in-law said, listen, you're going to wear yourself out. And I believe it was God leading him, it gave him advice to select individuals to help share the burden, and so in a sense, these are the kind of people you ought to look for whenever possible. He says in Exodus 18:21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. In other words, this idea, qualified individuals. And this is what we want to try and select. And it takes a lot of work. It's not easy, but I think our responsibility as Christians, if we're to be salt and light in the world, is to weigh in and use the right that we have to vote, consider it an obligation to serve God by voting. And I started to talk about different views. You know, some people, they're not sure and they don't want to vote because they don't want to vote for the wrong person. Then I've had people say, well, I don't vote at all because I'm just going to let God pick it. So.
Well, that's kind of like saying God will heal my illness when you have a hospital right down the street that he gave you.
Right.
You know, so
that right.
You go down there first. Well, yes, those are wonderful responses. And I would kind of build on that and say, you know, I think we need to pray to have reasoning
mm-hmm.
and also to be investigators and investigative reporters and all this, because there's so much that is out there that it's like, really, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I mean, there's just so much out there that is sadly such a an intent to mm-hmm. Dissuade and harm, and whenever when that, you know, if everybody were honest, it would, you know, that would be wonderful. But all these things that are not true, that are people are trying to throw out there, I mean, you really have to try to find out what you're, you know, what you're talking about, who the people are, who's mm-hmm. likely to try to damage somebody else,
right.
Who those blue 22 are, which hopefully people are wanting to know who those are all
right.
the time. And it really does take an effort, but it's our obligation. We should want to. Because of, you know, if we don't, you know who's going to just fill mm-hmm. in
Well, if God's people don't get involved, we leave it up to the devil's people, and then
right.
we complain. We got no way to blame but ourselves. Cheryl, we're coming up on the break here very shortly over a minute or so. But this is something, glad you brought this up. People need to be in prayer, though. The Ohio primary election is this Tuesday. And if people are letting the ads on TV and the radio determine who they're going to vote for, they're usually misinformed.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've really got to have reasoning and planning and discussion with people and,
mm-hmm.
and you know when somebody's trying to just damage someone at any cost.
Well, thank you. And I was going to say, too, unfortunately, a lot of our churches are doing people a real disfavor. Even if it's not the pastor, somebody in the church should take time to be informed, to provide advice to people in the church who are saying, you know, pastor, how do I know who to vote for? What's good advice? There ought to be, if it's not the pastor, there ought to be somebody designated in the church the pastor has confidence in that can search these things out. Remember the men of Issachar in the Bible? They were people who had understanding of the times that they could tell the rest of the tribes what it is that they needed to do. So there's generally somebody in the church that can be informed to help people understand the issues and get people involved. So,
and that's all well and good as long as the pastor approves of someone, you know, having that mission. And I totally 100% agree with you on that, because if the pastors aren't going to guide people, you know, they're off square one right there.
Right.
That's what you want is your main focus.
Well, and we've abdicated and I say this as a pastor, pastors have abdicated their role in helping mm-hmm. guide and help people be informed on these issues. They're just afraid, oh, we'll lose our tax-exempt status.
Yeah.
Nobody's lost their tax-exempt status over this.
And that's like the first big thing is for many of them to think that they don't have a role. They shouldn't be in that place. And it's ever so clear what you have made many, many times that, you know, God expects us to be involved in government.
Absolutely. Hey, I got to cut you off there, Nancy. Cheryl, we're going to have a break here in just a second. Stay tuned. Recently, the British crown passed from Queen Elizabeth to King Charles. America has no monarchy. We have a constitutional republic. Our sovereign is we the people. President Reagan said in 1983, the founding fathers understood that only by making government the servant, not the master, only by positing sovereignty in the people and not the state can we hope to protect freedom. But who advises the sovereign? President Coolidge answered in 1926, the principles of human relationship which went into the Declaration of Independence are found in the texts, the sermons, and the writings of the early colonial clergy who were earnestly undertaking to instruct their congregations in the great mystery of how to live. Today's pastors should follow the example of their colonial forefathers, reminding us that God is the highest power and government officials are the lesser. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Let's make government subject unto the higher powers again.